That's what we looked at last time. We said, don't hold back. Isaiah 54, it says, don't hold back, keep spreading out, keep pushing forward. And so this morning, I want to take it just a step forward further, and I want to say to us that God is growing you, and God is growing us. In fact, God doesn't do anything else but grow us. And the world is set up in such a way that life just actually happens quite easy. We've searched all the planets in the galaxies. We've searched all, not all of them, but we searched the majority of the planets in our universe. And we can't find a planet just like ours because God has created ours for life. And life seems to grow fairly easy when we think about it. New life seems to happen. And so God wants to grow us this morning, and he is growing us. It says this in 2 Peter 3:18. We're going to fire the verse up. Some of you fire the verse up for me. 2 Peter 3:18. This is what it says. If you've got your Bibles, you can look it up. In 2 Peter, if you don't, then you can enjoy it on the screen. It says this, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord Jesus, of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. See this, but grow in the grace and the knowledge. It's like there's no question that you're not going to grow. You're always going to grow. You're always going to grow in some shape or form. But God is saying this morning, this is what I want you to grow in, but grow in the grace and the knowledge. You can't help but grow. You're going to grow whatever way you're going to grow, but God is saying, why don't you grow in me? Since you're finding me, since your life is in me, stay grounded in me, stay planted in me, and watch how I'm going to cause you to grow. And I'm going to cause you to grow in grace and in knowledge. Grace, because we always need more grace. And we're going to grow in grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus demonstrates grace all the time. We look through the Gospels and we see God's grace, and we're like, he really died for everyone? Jesus really went to the cross and died for everyone? But sure, people didn't deserve it. There's people that are far worse than others. There's people that he knew would never accept Jesus, that would never accept his sacrifice. And yet Jesus was greater than all of that and higher than all of that. And he said, the truth is, none of you are worthy enough. None of you deserve me, but I've chosen because of my great grace and my wonderful love to die for you. And so grace is amazing because it's one of these things where it's hard to get to the bottom of it. It's hard to get to the top of it. It's hard to figure it fully out, because when you think you've grasped it, then you get presented with a problem that's like, oh, can I really show grace to that person? Like, come on, this is the fifth time that they've done a wrong thing. I think grace is being abused here. Here's the bottom line with God's amazing grace. It's so good, it will be abused. I mean, when you love with just full love, you're open to be abused in that. If you love with full love, there's always an opportunity for the other person to maybe abuse that love, or to take it for granted, or to do this or to do that. We are people that if given half the chance, we will take things for granted. If given half the chance, it'll be like, well, you used to give me this and you used to give me that. Why do you not give me this anymore? We take things for granted very easily. And grace is something that we're always growing in, because God knows how difficult it is to grasp grace. Here's the very reason for it. Because grace is not a natural thing. Grace, you'll not find it in the world at all. Grace is limited in the world. Grace is like a word that nobody likes to use. But grace comes from God. And only God can give grace. Because he says, no matter what, I'm going to keep giving you more. No matter what, I'm going to keep showing you love. No matter what, I will not turn around from you. And so God is saying this morning, what I really want you to grow in this morning is to grow in grace. And then the second thing is knowledge. Because knowledge is important. We need to know what we're about. We need to know where we're going. We need to have wisdom to make good, godly decisions. And so God's here this morning. He's saying, I've not withheld any wisdom from you. In fact, if you're lacking wisdom, the Bible says, pray for it. And God will give us more wisdom and more wisdom and more wisdom. And I don't know about you, but I definitely need more wisdom. Because the more grace I have and the more wisdom I have, the better decisions I will make. And so God is here this morning. He's saying, you're going to grow. But grow in grace and grow in knowledge. These are two really important things to grow in. I want us to think back for just a moment this morning and think about back to since we were saved and all the things that God's been doing in our lives since that. I want us to think back for just a moment. Maybe it's been a month or two. Maybe it's been 10 years. Maybe it's been 5 years. But just think back for just a moment and think about all the things that God has done in us since we got saved. Because growing is amazing. There's just something really special when you look back in something and go, wow, I could see that going from there to there. It's like maybe you went into the garden and you planted something, and there's just something, there's some real satisfaction when you see something going from small to bigger. Or you've been, I don't know, discipling someone, or you've been working with someone. Maybe you're a teacher and you've been teaching someone. There's just something about it satisfaction-wise whenever you meet them 5 years later and you realize that you've had a small part to play in their future. And you're like, wow, yeah, maybe I was part of their growth. There's just something amazing about growth, because growth is something that should take place. It's something that God wants to take place. And just for a moment this morning, just think back just all the things that God has done in our hearts and in our lives since we got saved. Maybe you're thinking of memories of this person that you met and this way that God helped you. Or maybe you're thinking back to the hopelessness that you once had, as we talked about earlier, and then suddenly you had a hope. Or maybe you think back to a time when you were sick but God healed you. Or maybe you think back to a time when there was nobody else there for you, and then suddenly God was there for you. Growth is amazing. And I think it's important this morning, what God wants to say to us is that you are growing. Maybe you're here today and you feel like, oh, I don't think I've been growing that well. I don't feel like there's been a great growth in my life. I want us to stop and think for a moment and think about all the things that God has done in us and encourage ourselves. Almost like looking in the mirror, kind of in our mind's eye, and encourage ourselves in the way that God has been growing us. And he wants to grow us more. I mean, the more that we grow in God, it means the more we're planted in him. And if we're planted and rooted in Christ, then we're going to continue to grow in grace and in wisdom and in knowledge and all the good things that God has got for us. Let me tell you a story this morning. Years ago, Nambian, when she was alive, she's my Nambian, Nan, this we call her Nambian. She loved to grow things, but she was thrifty. So she didn't like to really buy too many things, so she would like to maybe borrow something off somebody else. And so if she find a slip, you know, you can take a slip off like a plant, and she'll try to grow this thing, and maybe she'll grow this, and she'll have deep satisfaction that, you know, I got this for nothing kind of thing, and I was able to grow it into something. And so she used to have this bathtub, and it was full of loads of, it was just an old bathtub, it was outside, don't worry, it wasn't inside, it was outside, it was in her garden, she was thrifty with this, she was like, we can't get rid of this thing, we're going to fill it full of soil, and I'm going to grow things in it. And so her and I, we go sometimes, we plant things in it. And she had this incredible satisfaction of being able to plant something in it that maybe wasn't supposed to grow, or had fallen off a tree, or had fallen off a plant, and she was like, you know what, I'm going to put it in good soil, I'm going to water it every day, and we're going to see what's going to happen. And there's just something amazing when we plant something in faith, when we take the seed of our lives and we plant it in faith into God and watch what he's going to do with it. And you know, the amazing thing was that a lot of the times we take something that was small, we'd plant it in there, and it would get so healthy and it would get so strong, we'd actually have to take it out of there and replant it somewhere else. Our whole garden was full of that. They started off in the bathtub, it would grow quite well, and it would get too big and she'd have to take it out and plant it in the garden. What an amazing truth about growth. Things start off small, but if planted in good soil, become big. And God is here this morning. He said, if you're planted in the right places, you're going to grow big in me. If you're planted in the wrong places, you're going to grow big outside of me. It's important to know that growth will always happen, and you will always grow. It just depends who you're going to grow in. And really this morning, that's what we're thinking about, because Paul said it, but grow in these things, but grow in Jesus. Because he knows if you don't, a but means do something else, and what, but do this instead. But this, don't forget about this. And God's here this morning saying, you're going to grow no matter what. But if you would grow in me, watch what I will do in your life. And so we would take these silly plants that would have fallen off, or somebody else was discarding, or she would maybe, I don't know, walk around Gosford and see something and fancy it and take a quick pull off it and take it home quickly and plant it in the bath. And before you know it, it would grow and it would do well. And then she'd have to replant it. And God is here this morning. He wants to grow in your life. He wants to encourage you that in him you will grow. And you may start off small, but you'll become so big in the right places that God will have to move you. And he'll keep moving you. And he'll keep extending your vision. And he'll keep extending you. And he'll keep doing new and great things in your life. And so this morning I want us to read a key verse. And it says this in Romans 12:1. How are we going to grow? Who are we going to grow in? Says this, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And you know, so many times I would read this verse and I'd go to myself, okay, God, what he's really looking for is a living sacrifice. That's what he's after, and he wants my life, and he wants me to give him his life, and you know, I'm living, okay, that's good, so what's the next part? Sacrifice. So I'll give him all of my life. And I read this verse, and suddenly God just started to reveal some things to me. And maybe either I'm slow and took a long time to get onto it, or maybe you're in the same boat as me, and God's going to reveal some things to you this morning. It says this, to present your bodies. This Paul starts off with this part. He says, I appeal to you. Or other verses say, I beseech you, or I plead with you, or I beg with you, or I just really want to get your attention. God is here this morning. He says, I really want to get your attention because the next part is vital. I appeal to you. Can I get your attention this morning? God is saying, brothers, by the mercy, Christians, he's speaking about Christians this morning. By the mercies of God, present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to, and here's the really important part. Who are we going to present our bodies to? Present our bodies, holy and acceptable, living sacrifices to God. And this is the part he really wants to grasp. It's that two part. And maybe you got it before, but I was just getting it just this last couple of days, and God was saying, everybody's presenting their bodies to someone. Everybody's presenting their lives to someone. Everybody's planting their seed of their lives into something, but make sure it's into God. Because if it's not, you're going to grow in opposite ways to God. You're going to grow in different ways. You're going to grow in wrong places. We took those things, we put it in a good place, and it grew successfully, and we were able to move it into a bigger place. God's saying, if you're planted in me, you will grow in good ways. You will grow in God ways. But you can present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable, to your boyfriend or girlfriend, or to your husband or wife, or to your job, or to your career, or to some kind of other thing. And suddenly something else becomes your God. And when something else becomes your God, you know what it actually becomes? Your idol. Because God says, I don't want to have any other gods before me. And God is here this morning. He's saying, you're living. Hopefully you're living. If you're not, we're phoning the ambulance quick. You're living this morning. You're sacrificing. Everybody's sacrificing something. We're paying our bills. I sacrifice. I want Sky Sports, so I got to pay the big money to get Sky Sports. They keep emailing me to say, I'll give it to you half price for 6 months. I'm like, no, get thee behind me, Satan. They keep telling me the offer's going to be up on Monday, and then I get the email another week later. They're after me. They want me to sacrifice my money to get Sky Sports, and I'm like, no. So everything's after us, and everything's after us for our times. I'm going to sacrifice to go to the gym. I'm going to sacrifice to eat healthier. All those things are good things. But God is here this morning, and he wants to just present this to us because he's saying, you are presenting your life to someone. You always are. But he says, I want it to be me first and foremost. I want it to be me. Present your bodies. Present your lives. We're living. We make sacrifices all the time. Holy and acceptable. We've talked about holy many times. Simply all holy means in the Bible is to be set apart. Who are we setting our lives apart for? Are we setting ourselves apart for ourselves? Because we've got great ideas, we've got great visions, we've got great plans, and it's just all about me. Are we setting ourselves apart for somebody else? Are we setting ourselves apart for something else? Are we sacrificing in the wrong areas when God was saying obedience? Actually, in the Old Testament, says obedience is greater than sacrifice. And God would love it that we were obedient to this. He says, I appeal to you. I urge you. I really want to get your attention. I plead with you. I beseech you if you want to go old school. But I really want to get your attention today, and I would love that you would present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, nobody else, to God. And that's really his heart this morning, and that's really where he's trying to take us to this morning. That's really where he wants our hearts to beat from, that we will recognize that we're going to grow, that we're going to present our bodies, that we're going to do it, but who are we going to grow in? Who are we going to present our bodies to? God is here this morning. Question, does anybody else have me? Does anybody else have my living sacrifice? Does anybody else have me? Second point I want to make this morning is that we can grow one or two ways. If we read on to the second half of that portion of scripture, it says this, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. It's like God makes it really clear. It's like you're either going for me or you're going for something else. You're either going for me or you're going for somebody else. And God's saying you can be conformed and you can fit in. And if we think back to our salmon story a few weeks ago, the salmon wants to go upstream. Everybody else wants to go downstream. If you want to be like everybody else, you'll just continue to be like everybody else. But here's the bottom line. You will deny who you were made to be because the packet on the seeds, only God can read because he's the guy who makes the seeds. He's the gardener. And you're the seeds in his hand. And he's saying, hey, if you want to know who you're meant to be, you've got to come and see me. Because otherwise you're going to plant seeds that you think are orange trees and you're going to wind up being lemon trees. I don't know. You're going to plant and somebody's going to tell you you're this, but you're not. You're something else. Somebody else is going to say you're good for nothing there. You should be doing this, but really you should have been doing that. They were just jealous of you and they knew the potential that you had. But the gardener is here this morning. God is here this morning and he knows what's on the outside of you. He knows what you were made for. And he says you'll either conform and be like everybody else and deny who you really are. Or you'll deny yourself and deny the world and you'll take up your cross and follow after me and you'll be unique in the image that I've made you. See, all of us were made uniquely in God's image, and so we can only be ourselves. When we try to be anybody else, we confuse ourselves, we discourage ourselves, we put ourselves down. But when we recognize we're made uniquely, we won't conform anymore, but instead we'll be transformed by the renewal of your minds. Now, when I look at those two words, if I even just think of them, either I'll be conformed or I'll transform, I know which one of those sounds better. I know which one of those sounds better. One's a God word and one's just the world's word. I want everybody to be the same. You know, the world loves this. If everybody would just wear the same outfit, we'd have one or two big factories making all of that. The companies would make all the money because we know that the choice you would have would just be one or two things. Or if you went to the restaurants, we'd only have one of two things. It would either be a burger or a steak, and that would be amazing for the chefs, it would be amazing for the business, and everybody would thrive and everybody would grow because we know exactly what we want. We wouldn't have to waste our time with all the other menu options. We just go for that. But God loves the variety in us. God loves the uniqueness in us. God placed that inside of us. And if we're going to present our lives as a living sacrifice, make sure it's to God. Because if we present ourselves to anybody else, you know what? They'll ultimately make us conform. They'll ultimately say, could you not be a bit more like me? Because if you were a bit lower like me, you'd be a lot easier to handle. You know, that's what the world wants us to do. Just be a bit, could you be a bit more less maintenance in a sense? Could you just fit in like everybody else? And God's saying, you were never made to fit in. So is it any wonder we get condemned and we feel pressured and we feel almost depressed at times? Because we were meant to stand out. We were meant to go against the crowd. We were meant to go against the flow. It says, do not be transformed, but be transformed. Do not be conformed, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And this is really important. It's really important to know this. How are we going to get there? How are we going to be transformed, and how are we going to be renewed? Unfortunately, it's going to come through testing. Unfortunately, it is. It's just the way it has to be. It's that we need to be tested as individuals. But as we're tested, God is with us. God is for us. God, we're planted in him. We will continue to grow. But there's some times where the gardener has to come and he has to prune us. He has to sort some things out. But if we do that, then this is the outcome. It says that we will discern what is the will of God, what is good and what is acceptable and what is perfect. Whenever we're planted in God, whenever we're being transformed, whenever we're being renewed, then we'll be able to discern God's will. What an amazing thing. And if you can discern God's will, then it means that you can discern everybody else's will. You can discern if that person's working with you or working against you. You can discern if that person's coming with you to help you get closer to God and being an asset in your life, or if they're ultimately just trying to get in the way because they're either jealous or bitter or they've got ulterior motives or another agenda. But God is here this morning. He says, my testing will be a good thing in your life. My testing will be a good thing because I'll be with you. My testing will be a good thing because I'll have provided with you for you all the tools that you need to succeed. My testing will be a good thing because I will cause you to become more perfect. Look at the end of that. What is good and acceptable and perfect? We'll be able to walk in God's ways. We'll be able to think his ways. We'll be able to walk in transformation. We'll be able to walk in renewal. Those are all things I want to be able to walk in. Those are all things I want to grow in. Because I know if I grow in the wrong ways, wow, it's so much harder and so much more painful to chop something down that's wrong than to help something flourish when it's right. God is here this morning, and he knows exactly what way we should grow. But there are growing pains. This is what it says in Mark chapter 2, verse 22. If we flick it up there, Mark 2 says this. No one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. But new wine calls for new wineskins. And God is here this morning. Maybe spiritually he just wants to challenge our hearts at the moment, just at this moment. He wants to just challenge our hearts, and he said, I've got new wine for new seasons. In other words, I've got new things for new times. Are you ready to grow? Are you ready to keep changing? Here's the thing. If we look at any business in the world, if the business starts to succeed and starts to grow, which inevitably every business is set up to grow and succeed, to make money and to thrive, that's the ultimate goal. I mean, if you're trying to do it legitimately and it's not for fraud and it's not for any other benefits, but it's meant to be set up, it's meant to thrive, it's meant to make money, and it's meant to go through the roof. But if you're an employee in the business and you were there 10 years ago and now it's 10 years on, if you weren't willing to grow and change and be retrained and be transformed and be renewed, then unfortunately the business is going to have to say, hey, you're not fit for purpose anymore. You don't fulfill the needs of the business anymore. We're moving on and you're standing still. And so in life, it's inevitable. I want to encourage you, no matter what you go to do, don't be short-sighted to think that, oh, if I go God's ways, he's going to change me loads, and I don't like to change, so I just want to stay my way. Don't be short-sighted. No matter what way you go, you're going to be forced to change. You're going to be forced to change. You have to keep moving forward. The world is moving. Everything's moving forward. There's no option. We have to keep going. It says, but God doesn't try to put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, both is lost. But new wine calls for new wineskins. And maybe you're here this morning and God has a new season for your life. Maybe God's putting new dreams in your heart. But there's going to be a tension just over that first wee while, because there's a stretching that's taking place. There's a newness that's taking place. And we think about birth, and we've talked about birth loads this last few weeks. I don't even know why. But birth is a painful process. But by the end of it, you have an amazing, incredible baby. And rebirth is difficult at times, and change is difficult at times. But as we change, God is helping us, he's equipping us, and he is transforming us. And it will be a good thing. It's so good. Listen to this. John 15:1 says this. If you want to flick the verse there. John 15:1, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. This is Jesus speaking. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. See, God's testing and God's pruning, as we're talking about right now, is actually a good thing. As we prune those things off, as we prune off things that we're doing quite well, they'll grow even better. As we take away branches that weren't doing anything, it helps us to feel lighter. It helps us to feel better. And unfortunately, in our lives, there's branches maybe from the past, or maybe things that have grown up because we've been planted in the wrong things. Because here's the thing. You can be good seed planted in the wrong place, and so therefore you get the wrong results. You get something that you never wanted. And so it has to be cut away, or it has to be taken away. And you're saying to God, God, grow me, take me further. Well, if we pray those prayers, then there'll be transformation in our lives. And sometimes transformation means taking away a branch that's ineffective, taking away a branch that's no good anymore, taking away a branch that was maybe never meant to be there. But know this, God always does it for your benefit. He always does it for growth. And so as he prunes, even more fruit comes. As he prunes, even more fruit comes. I was chatting to Kyle yesterday. He was telling me about the apples and the orchards. He's got loads of apples. He's got loads of orchards. He was showing me these pruner tools that they have. And he was saying, we make them so sharp they would cut paper. Not only will they cut the branches or prune the leaves and the buds off the trees and the different kind of sprigs and branches that's on there, but they're so sharp. We make them so sharp they would even cut paper. And God will come so skillfully in our lives. He will come so skillfully in our lives. He will cut things out in such a great, easy way almost at times. It'll just be so clean. We'll come out of it and go, wow, I feel like it should have taken longer to get through that. But God's grace was amazing through that. I felt the pain. I felt that cut. But I saw God's healing coming right through. It was like he was so faithful in that. God doesn't come with old rusty instruments that will come and he'll come to cut things out of our lives, but it'll eventually affect our whole lives. And before you know it, we'll be dying because we're full of all these evil, bad things because the blade wasn't kept correctly. It wasn't sharp. It wasn't disinfected. It wasn't done well. God says, I want to come and I just want to cut out the things that are no good, but leave everything else that is great and leave room for more growth. And I'll come and I'll prune you, but I'll come to prune you not to defeat you, but to cause you to grow even more successfully. And so maybe what the Lord is saying this morning is, maybe you've been growing really well this last few months. Maybe you've been growing really well. You've been just the word's been coming alive to you. Your prayer life has been amazing. But you've just felt like a sharpness coming this last couple of weeks. And you're thinking, come on, what's this about? And maybe just God's just coming to you and he says, you've had an incredible season, but I just want to prune you a tiny bit because I want next year to be even better. And maybe that's it this morning. Sometimes it's not always coming to just remove all this bad stuff from your life because you're a terrible person. God knows that you feel that you're a terrible person half the time, and he just wants you to get out of that because it's negative thinking. But maybe he's here this morning and he's just trying to prune a couple of areas of your life, not to hurt you, not to knock you back, but because you're doing so well, he just wants to transform you even more so you'll grow even better and you'll produce even more fruit the next year. God is an amazing gardener and he knows exactly what he's doing. God's pruning is actually there to help us and to cause us to grow even more. Let me finish off with a couple of last points and then we're going to be good. Two quick things. Our lives are like seeds. Our lives are like seeds. We present ourselves to whoever, and then we'll grow in those certain areas. We present ourselves here, we'll grow there. If we present ourselves to God as living seed, he will cause us to grow substantially, and he will do great things in our hearts. But here's two things just to think about. Good seed in the wrong places. Good seed in the wrong places. This is relevant simply because of what we were doing yesterday. There was good seed, but it was in the wrong places. And so yesterday, if you were here helping, if not, hopefully you're praying for us because it was raining lots. But we had to get the back all cleared out for just to allow our fire kind of things more accessible to be able to get downstairs just 100% right with the fire safety stuff, to get all passed with the council and all that kind of stuff because it's got to be right. It's either right or wrong, so it's got to be right. And so we came down yesterday and we're cutting things. And you know what? You start to think for just a moment, wow, look at how much work we're having to go through. Look at how much we're doing trailer load after trailer load. We're getting soaked. We're cutting. We're going like crazy. We're running out of fuel. It's costing us time. It's costing us money. It's costing us everything. And we think to ourselves, imagine everything in here grew from a single seed. It grew from something really, really tiny. And it grabbed my heart because God says, if you had faith as small as a mustard seed, that's all you need. And sometimes we concentrate on the small, but God is saying, what I really want you to concentrate on is the seed. Because if you had faith just as small as a tiny seed, as a mustard seed, it would grow and it would become substantial. And yesterday, me and Gareth were cutting this tree. And here's the important thing to remember. This was good seed planted in the wrong places. It was just in the wrong areas. It just didn't need to be there. It shouldn't have been there. It's just through lack of maintenance, through lack of just taking care of the grass and the weeds and stuff, they sprung up because growth will happen anyway. It's inevitable. Know that in our hearts this morning. Growth will always happen. It's just who we're growing in and who we're presenting our lives to. And so we started to cut this tree, and it started off as just a small bush that you would have in your garden that you would pay money to have, and it would just, you look at it and it would be pretty, whatever. But over a long period of time of neglect and growing in the wrong place, it just became a nuisance. But here's the thing to note. It grew and it grew and it grew. And because the seed was still good, even though it grew in wrong places, we were cutting it yesterday, and there was birds. There was one bird that was hopping around there. He was just like hopping around. And every time we would stop cutting, he would come back in again. It was like, this is one of my places. I just like to chill here. You know, his nest wasn't there or anything like that, but he just liked to chill there. It was just like one of his places. And life is subtle because here's the thing. We can be good seed growing in wrong places, and then we start to justify it because, well, no, but birds are resting in my tree. You know, it's like I'm helping people. I'm supporting people. You know, that's a good thing. He just didn't realize that this was, yeah, good seed, but planted in the wrong places. And God's here this morning, and he sent us, and maybe he just wants to challenge our hearts, and he wants to say to you, you've been growing well, but there's other areas that you've been growing well, but growing well in the wrong places. And we can try to justify it because, oh, well, I'm helping this, and I'm doing this, and I've been able to do that. But it doesn't take away from the fact that you were good seed planted in the wrong places. And that started off as tiny seed, but it took us a lot of work to get back to clear ground. And so God is here this morning, he's saying to you, don't allow that tiny seed to grow in wrong places. Maybe your life is a bit like that. Allow the Lord to come and transform you so it doesn't stay like that. Second quick thing, and then we're going to be done. Good seed at the wrong time. You see, the Lord can send us, our lives are like seed, and the Lord can send us good kind of ideas for the future, but it's almost like we weren't ready for it. It was like the ground of our heart wasn't ready for it. And so God came to plant fresh seed, and he came to plant fresh vision, and he came to give us fresh direction, the thing that we're desperate for a lot of the times in our lives, but we just weren't ready for it. And there's no better story than this than the Old Testament Jonah. And we're not going to read the verses. I'm just going to describe it to you for one moment because we're going to worship in just a moment. But Jonah is a guy that's following after God. He's a prophet. He's there. He's hearing God's voice. And God comes to him one day and he says, this is what it says. The word of the Lord came to Jonah and it said, Jonah, I need you to go to Nineveh. And so God comes to him, he gives him clear direction, he tells him where he wants to grow in, he tells him the areas where he wants to go and plant his life in. He says, go and plant your life over in Nineveh. And so God comes with a good word, he comes with good seed, but Jonah's not, he's not ready to do it. He's not ready to do it. And so he says, I want you to give your life for me. I want you to go to this place. I want you to go to that place. And he says, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he asks him to go. And Jonah says, no way, because Nineveh is a horrible place. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be there at all. And there's an amazing part of the story because Jonah, as you know well, gets swallowed up by the whale. His life is just a mess. He's in the belly of the whale. It's not just a children's story. But what it's really trying to say is metaphorically that when we don't follow God's ways, our lives can end up in a mess. Maybe pretty much all the times, because anybody that's outside of Christ is dead, and so death doesn't sound pretty good to me. Life sounds pretty good, and life can only be found in Jesus. So anytime you're outside of him, your life's just in a mess. It might be a pretty mess, it might be a disguised mess, but it's always a mess. And so Jonah's life just spirals into a mess where he can't even go to the place he wants to go to because he tries to get away from God, but God's calls on his life, and this fish comes along and it swallows him. Fortunately, he's still alive. But there's this amazing, amazing truth that comes in the middle of Jonah, which I love it. It's one of the best. I just love it. It's one of the best verses, and maybe in all of the, and personally for me, in one of the best verses in all of the Bible. And it says that Jonah, when he decided to turn his life around, when he decided to allow God to plant good seed in his life, when he decided to go the ways that he should go, you know what it says? The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Says the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. It was like God said, I know you messed up. I know your life is a bit of a mess, but I never forgot about you. I was just always waiting. And maybe you're here this morning, you think to yourselves, maybe I've just been growing in the wrong places. Maybe I've been growing in the wrong ways. Maybe I've forgotten to grow in the places God wanted me to. Maybe God called me to grow over in this place and I refused to because I felt I wasn't ready for it. But God is here this morning. He's saying the word of the Lord might come to you a second time or a third time or a fourth time or a fifth time. Why? Because his grace is so amazing. And so God's amazing grace is here this morning. And wherever you find yourself, God's saying, I want you to grow. You're going to grow. But will you grow in me? Because if you find your growth in me, you will be transformed. You will be renewed and you will go from strength to strength. And the best truly will be yet to come. Let's stand together. And we're going to pray. I want us to finish off just as we close our eyes this morning with this, reread the first verse that we shared. It says, I appeal to you, I urge you, I plead with you, I beseech you, I really want to get your attention, says the Lord, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Lord, I thank you this morning for everybody that's here. I thank you this morning, Lord, that your plans are to prosper us. Your plans are for good and not evil, Lord. I thank you this morning that you want us to grow, Lord, and you want us to grow through the roof in you, Jesus. You want us to grow. But you also recognize because of the way things have been designed and the way that things have been set up by our amazing creator, God, that we will grow no matter what because we were created to grow. We're like seed. If you plant us, we will grow. If you put us in soil, we will grow. If we get enough rain, which we get lots of rain over in Northern Ireland, you will grow because all the elements are there. All the elements are there. Growth is perfectly natural. But God is saying this morning, will you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to me alone, to me, God, to me? Because we can present ourselves to many other things and many other people and many other places. But God is here this morning saying, present yourself to me, to your God. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for anybody who just recognizes maybe they've grown in the wrong areas. Lord, the clear out may be tough, but Lord, I know through your great grace and your mercy, you will cause us to thrive again. Maybe we're here this morning, you're thinking, wow, I've been doing really well, but I just felt like a bit of a change of season. Well, maybe it's just a pruning season, and the Lord's getting you ready for a bigger harvest next season. But Lord, wherever we find ourselves this morning, let's make sure that we're growing in Christ. Let's make sure we're growing in Jesus. And so, Lord, before we worship, I just want to give us an opportunity. Maybe we're all here this morning and we all are in Christ and we know Jesus. But maybe we're here this morning and for whatever reason, we've started to grow in different places. We've kind of walked away from God or forgotten about God for whatever reasons. But through what we're talking about this morning, we realize that I need to be back with God, or I need to know God in my life. And so let's all close your eyes for just a moment. But if there's anybody here this morning, or more than one person this morning, I just encourage you to do one thing. If you're here this morning and you're feeling that, it's because God's putting conviction in your heart. Because you recognize that when you're outside of God, it just nothing feels right, nothing feels good. And God puts conviction on our spirit, which simply means this. He reveals to us that we're wrong and that we need to repent, that we need to turn around. Because His ways are the best ways. His ways are the only ways. And so if you're here this morning and you recognize that you've been far from Jesus or you've never known Jesus, then I want to give you an opportunity to get saved this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus into your heart. And the Bible says if we believe with our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, then we will be saved, we'll be transformed, we'll turn our lives around. And so as everybody has their eyes closed, I'm just going to give you a private moment. And what I'm going to encourage you to do is just to raise your hand. And this is not going to do something spectacular. It's just going to indicate to me that you want us to pray together. And I'll simply pray from here, and you pray in your heart, and we'll believe that the Lord will transform you, because His word is true, and His word is just. And He's faithful and just to forgive those, to forgive us our sins, if we ask them. And so is there anybody here this morning, and you've been far from God, and you just need His forgiveness? Maybe you're here this morning, you've just been far from God, and you recognize, I just need to be back with Jesus again. I need to be back with a personal relationship with God. Because the life that I've got at the moment is not the life that you're describing. It's not a life of abundance. It's not a life with God. Is there anybody else here this morning who just wants us to pray with them? Amen. Amen. We're going to pray with you as well. Anybody else this morning wants to pray with them? We're just going to believe together. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we're going to pray for these two people this morning. Just for more of your peace, Lord, more of your grace, but for your transformation in their lives, Lord. Repentance is a big word in the New Testament, but it simply means this, to turn around, to just turn around and present yourselves, present your bodies to God and nobody else. Just simply means that. That's the heart of the gospel. This Romans 12:1 is just the heart of the gospel. Present yourself to God and nobody else. Because if you're not presenting yourself to Him, you're presenting it to someone else or to something else. And so, Lord, I pray this morning for these two guys, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just make yourself real in their hearts. And even in these moments, Lord, that they would just confess with their mouths and with their heart, believe in their hearts that Jesus is Lord. And so right now, Lord, that they would just say that, Jesus, you're Lord of my life. Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I present to you my life. Actually, we all do this because we all do this afresh. And so, Lord, this morning I'm here and I give you my life. I give you my heart afresh, Jesus. Lord, if I've never known you, then I give you my heart for the first time. And I ask you to come and forgive me, set me free and transform me, take away my sins and give me a brand new start, because that's exactly what I need. But if I'm here this morning and I once knew God, then I need that brand new start all over again. I need His forgiveness all over again. I've turned my life around. I'm saying, sorry, Lord, I repent for the way that I was living. But Lord, I know that I need you again. I need you afresh in my life. And so, Lord, if that's us this morning, then we're praying for these two people this morning. We're believing for transformation. We need to either go opposite way to God or we can go God's way, and it will transform and change us forever. And so, Lord, I thank you this morning that some people have come back into the kingdom. I thank you this morning that some people have made their hearts right with God again. They've made their lives right with you. And now instead of growing in opposite ways, they're going to grow in God's ways. And so, Lord, I pray for strength and grace in their lives, Lord. As you would come and you come to prune them, as you would come and you would come to test them, they would know this, that it's only for their growth. Lord, I pray that maybe the last time they were tested, or maybe the last time they were going through troubles, it caused them to turn from God because they were saying, why would a good God do this? But this morning we recognize, Lord, that we are your masterpiece. And sometimes the master has to change a couple of things. Sometimes the master has to take a few things away because they were never meant to be there. Or sometimes he just simply needs to prune us, which is painful, but it's going to cause more growth, even more growth next year, even more growth. So Lord, cause us to grow, not only in your grace, but in knowledge and wisdom. because it will help us to know whenever the other voices come. Help us to discern what's your will. Help us discern what ways to go. Lord, we're giving you praise this morning for salvation. We're giving you praise, Lord, for resurrection life in Jesus' name. And we sing this morning as we come to the altar and present our bodies as a living sacrifice all over again, afresh to the King of Kings. Amen. Let's worship Jesus.